Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. How do the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit relate to each other? There's great mystery here, but the Bible gives us direction in understanding this. Today, we'll clarify their roles, focusing first on how Jesus, God's Son, spoke of His Father in heaven. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on the mysteries of God. In this fourth mystery we're encountering, join us as we learn more about the triunity of God.
So the Son's chief identity is what? The Son's chief identity is to do the Father's will. The delight of Jesus when he was here on earth, repeatedly he says, I delight to do thy will, O God. If we had time, we'd turn to the last verse of the 14th chapter of John, where Jesus said, I always do whatever the Father wants. And when Jesus did what the Father wanted, when the Father was pleased, the Son was pleased. That was his greatest delight, is to please the Father. So the Father is the one who loves, and the Son is the beloved one. When Jesus was baptized, the words were, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What a wonderful way to describe this relationship. He is the one who is beloved of the Father. Remember, the Father's chief identity is to love. And God loved the world and sent his Son. I'll comment on that in a moment. What about the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit, the Father gives the Holy Spirit to the Son. And this happened, as you know, at the baptism of Jesus. And Jesus goes forth in the strength and power of the Holy Spirit to do miracles. So what you always have is members of the Trinity in love, in honor, and pleasing one another for as long as God existed. And that's a very long time. Now, having said that and introduced you all too briefly to the Trinity, I feel that I'm walking through a garden and we're just walking, and you'd love to point out all of the nuances and all of the flowers along the way, but we have to get to the end of the garden. And today, the end of the garden is where untold blessings lie, so we're on our way. So let's say a word about creation. Now, it's interesting that in creation, all three members of the Trinity were involved. God is spoken as creator, but he creates through the Son. Therefore, the Son, the Bible says, through him all things were created. And the Spirit hovers above the waters, also being involved in the creation story. But let me ask you a question. Why did God create anything anyway? Your Sunday school teacher probably said, well, you know, God was up there and he was kind of lonely. And he said to himself, I'd like to have some people to love and to have fellowship with and that'll worship me, because there's a part of me that really needs this. Well, I don't think so. Paul said in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, God hath need of nothing. He didn't need any one of us. He was totally fulfilled throughout all of eternity. But he did decide to create, and that was an overflow of his love. He says, I have so much love, I'm going to create, and I'm going to beget other sons and daughters. And that's exactly what he did. The first creation, of course, was filled with unity and, what shall we say, unity, harmony, beauty. And by the way, have you ever noticed this about Christianity? Christianity has a love affair with music. You look at some of the great music that we have been singing this morning. You look at the great cantatas of a man like Johann Sebastian Bach. And I mention him because we have a whole row of Germans here today. So we want to honor them by mentioning Bach. Yeah, you can give them a hand. Bach believed that when he wrote those cantatas, he was mirroring He was like a mirror of the Trinity, the harmony that exists between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He believed that all of the notes were created by God, and they could be put together in such a way that music would have grandeur, it would have gravitas, it would inspire people, and it would enable us to worship God better. Now go throughout the world and look at all the other religions and find out whether or not you can find one that has the kind of music Christianity has. Those do not exist. They may have chants, but not music. Because Christians believe that the unity of God and the beauty of the universe, created in such a way that all the notes fit and harmonize, is of God. So that's the creation. Now, what do we say about salvation? Well, as you know, Adam and Eve really blew it. And they blew it big time. I once wrote a book about making the best of a bad decision. Nobody knows about it. I have the gift of writing. Few people have the gift of reading, apparently. But the first chapter is about Adam and Eve, and I say nobody has ever blown as bad as they have. Tell me your story. It's not as bad as theirs. Perfect garden. And they blow it, and sin enters. Now, Adam and Eve were created to obey God, yes, but to worship God and to love God. When they sinned and everything went horribly wrong, and we see that horribly wrong all throughout the world today, when they sinned, they didn't stop loving. It's just that they stopped loving God and they started to love themselves because they were lovers of self. And now you have selfishness entering into the world and self-protection and anger and I need my rights and these rights impinge upon your rights. And the whole history of the human race with its war is very evident. So the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, the most famous of all the verses of Bible, in the Bible, it says, "For God so loved the world." Remember, the Father, His chief identity is love. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." So the Son is sent that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Why was the Son sent? Well, you say to forgive our sins. Yes, that's true. But that's not the ultimate reason. The forgiveness of sins was necessary worship God and love God. The greatest commandment is not that thy sins shall be forgiven. The greatest commandment is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So that's the commandment. What God was saying is it isn't just a matter of forgiveness. It is a matter of restoring the broken fellowship so that man and God can love. And our love goes to him. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 John. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love God does not know God, because God is love. And in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him." Primary identity of the Father is love. And so he sends the Son to redeem us. Now, I hope that you understand this, and I'm going to emphasize this again in the next sermon, because the next sermon is going to be answering this question. Jesus is God? Yeah, he's God. He dies? You mean God died? If you're thinking that, that's good to think, but be sure to come back next time for the message on that topic. Now, the point is this. In pagan religions, and I may mention this again, in pagan religions, what you have is, and Christianity is sometimes criticized, oh yeah, look at this religion. They offered sacrifices. You know, the sacrifices of blood are found in all religions, and Christianity is just the same. No, it's not. In all the other religions, what you have is people bringing sacrifices. In Christianity, God becomes the sacrifice. Wow. And God demands a payment for sin, and he supplies what he demands so that redemption is of God. You can't find that in any other religion. Now, if you believe in a one-person God, such as Islam, God might let bygones be bygones and forgive you, but he has no just basis upon which to do so except to let bygones be bygones, and more likely, he's going to ask you to suffer for your own sin and make your own payment. So in redemption, we have a redeeming God that you need a Trinity for. No other God can be a redeeming God without the Trinity. Now, how do we bring this down so that our lives are changed and we understand the profound implications? First of all, I've emphasized this: God has always been a father. He's always been a father. Since the beginning of time, he loved the Son. He's always been a father. The distinctive mark of Christianity is that God is the Father.
My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I want to explain something. I believe that one of the marks of genuine conversion is that when people pray, they call God Father. I've sometimes prayed with people who claim to be Christians, and they always pray to God. Well, of course, he's God, and we're praying to God. But only in Christianity do you have this miracle, this work of the Holy Spirit of God within us that is found in Romans chapter 8, where it says that the Holy Spirit works in us so that we can cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, of course, is a term of endearment. Do you call God Father when you pray? Or is God so distant that you would never dare call him Father? You know, as this message continues, and I certainly hope that you continue to listen to Running to Win, you'll discover I tell the story of a woman who was raised in Islam who came to the conclusion that Christianity was right, and when she called God Father, she knew that she was converted. I hope that you're enjoying this study. More than that, I hope that this study on the mysteries of God is drawing you closer to God, that it is whetting your appetite to know him better and to become a worshiper of God with all of our hearts and with all of our minds. Now, that's my desire, and I certainly hope it is yours. I preach this series of messages, The Mysteries of God, not because I thought that we could understand all the mysteries, but in order to try to probe the knowledge and the nature of God as far as we can. And then at the end of the day, in the midst of mystery, to throw ourselves at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said that he who has seen me has seen the Father. What blessings we have in him.
Erwin Lutzer with more of The Triunity of God, another message on the mysteries of God. Jesus died as a sacrifice to avert the Father's wrath on guilty sinners. That's an expression of love we'll never understand. Next time, more on that love. The Mysteries of God can be yours on CD. All 8 messages will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.